أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف طوف بهما ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم صدق الله العظيم.
ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ اللہ کے حضور میں سر کو جھکا کے دیکھ ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ وہ خوش نصیب ہے جسے منظور ہے نماز وہ خوش نصیب ہے جسے منظور ہے نماز مومن کی پاک روح کا ایک نور ہے نماز شیطان کی بہت سے بہت دور ہے نماز دل کو خدا کی یاد کا مسکن بنا کے دیکھ ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ برکت ہزار ساتھ ہے لاتی ہے یہ نماز برکت ہزار ساتھ ہے لاتی ہے یہ نماز جلوہ خدا کا ساتھ دکھاتی ہے یہ نماز بندے کو اپنے رب سے ملاتی ہے یہ نماز ملنا ہے گر خدا سے مصلی بچھا کے دیکھ ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ منکر نکیر قبر میں پوچھیں گے جب حساب منکر نکیر قبر میں پوچھیں گے جب حساب دے گی نماز خود ہی نمازی کا سب جواب مٹ جائے گا نماز سے سب قبر کا عذاب اس رب العالمین سے تو لو لگا کے دیکھ ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ اس رب ذوالجلال کی مرضی نماز ہے اس رب ذوالجلال کی مرضی نماز ہے بخشش کی اور نجات کی سیری نماز ہے دروازے بہشت کی کنجی نماز ہے سب کچھ ملے گا خود کو نمازی بنا کے دیکھ ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ وہ رب العالمین ہے مختار ہے وہی وہ رب العالمین ہے مختار ہے وہی رحمان ہے رحیم ہے غفار ہے وہی بے شک تیری نماز کا حقدار ہے وہی ناراض ہو نہ جائے وہ بندے خدا کے دیکھ, ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ, اللہ کے حضور میں سر کو جھکا کے دیکھ, ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ.
صلی علی رسول الکریم, اما بعد, فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا ایہا الذین آمنوا قوا انفسکم واہلیکم نارا. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, inshallah tonight we will focus on a very very important subject, a subject that generally we don't like to touch on, we are scared, we feel afraid to touch on the subject, and also we try to shy away from the subject. By shying away, by avoiding it, it will not help us. I don't sit here in your company as a sheikh, as a murshid, as an ustad. I haven't got those capabilities. Allah have blessed you people with great, great ulama. This seat and this seat here, many of the pious and the great mashayikh sat here. If I ever think that I am a ustad to you, a murshid and a sheikh, I am wasting my time. Wallahi al-azim. Sit here solely as a student of Islam, revising a lesson which my sheikh taught me, and inshallah, in that takrar and that revision, umid on Allah that inshallah there will be benefit for us, inshallah. Are there also ladies here? Allah said in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O people of faith, O mu'min, O believers, it is incumbent upon you, it is farad upon you, it is wajib upon you, that you must protect yourself from the fire of Jahannam firstly. Thereafter, your wife, your children, your offspring and your family members. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard these verses, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I can understand that I can protect myself from the fire of Jahannam. How do I protect my wife and my children from the fire of Jahannam? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that you must instruct them to do good things and you must prohibit them to do evil and wrong. This is the means that you will assist them to be protected from the fire of Jahannam. In another hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained this Quranic verse by saying, مُرُّ أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِإِمْتِثَالِ الْأَوَامِرِ, that instruct your children, command your wife and your children with things that Allah Rabbul Izzat want them to do, and prohibit them to do those things which Allah does not want them to do. فَذَلِكَ وِقَايَةٌ لَهُمْ وَلَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, this is the means and method that Allah have chosen for you to protect them from the fire of Jahannam. By doing this, you will free yourself from the fire of Jahannam and you will free them. Now, not forgetting, this is not an amal which is mustahab, which is good, which is preferable. This is incumbent and farad upon every father and mother, every parent, every guardian. In the hadith it comes, blessed be that father, blessed be that mother, who says unto his children, perform salah, give zakah, protect yourself from evil and sin. Be good and kind to your neighbors. For wallahi al-azim, this is a way that you are chalking to Jannah. Rabbul Izzat's special tawajjuh, his focus, his rahmat is upon that father and mother who sees to the well-being of their children by means of instructing them. Amal bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. So this act of providing the necessary means, the necessary talim, the necessary tarbiyah for your children is incumbent upon mother and father. And this is the means leading us to Jannah. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Masil Rahmatullah explains. He says, today we have not realized the importance, the value of wife and children. Therefore you would find we are prepared to leave our wife and our children at the supermarkets, at the corners of the streets, leave them in the shops, allow them to drive. But you will never find that mu'min, that father, that mother will take 1,000 rands and leave it at the crossroad, will take 1,000 rands and leave it outside their house. No. That 1,000 rands means more to you than your wife and your children. Allah says in the hadith, "Ad-dunya jifa wa talibuha kilab." In the eyes of Allah, the entire wealth of the dunya is termed as jifa. What is jifa? It is carrion. And the hadith mentioned, none other shall seek that carrion, none other shall eat that carrion besides a dog. But today, my millions of rands, I will lock it up in a safe. I will guard it, I will protect it. My wife and my children, where are they, respected elders and brothers? Whose responsibility is that? Whose duty is that? None other but myself. None other but myself as a father, as a parent. Mahmud Ghaznavi Rahmatullah Alayhi was a very, very pious king. His kingdom stretched from east to west. Very, very pious. One day, in his court, he put his hand in a pocket, in his pocket, and he removed a diamond. And he presented the diamond to his chief counselor, and he said to the chief counselor, have a look at this diamond. And he looked at the diamond, and he said, your honor, your lord, it is priceless. We can never ever put a price on this diamond. The king instructed the chief wazir, the counselor, he has an instrument, a hammer, smash that diamond. He said, your honor, the duty of the wazir, of the counselor, is to look after the well-being of the kingdom. And he stepped down. He handed the diamond to the second in charge. He looked at the diamond. Your honor, your lord, it is priceless. I want you to destroy the diamond. He refused. And in like manner, he passed the diamond along to each and every one of them. Not a single counselor was prepared to destroy the diamond. He called his slave, Iyaz, and he said, Iyaz, have a look at this diamond. And the king looked at, the slave looked at the diamond. Your honor, it is priceless. One in a million. Take this hammer and smash the diamond. Immediately he took the hammer and he smashed the diamond. Everybody was astonished and amazed. What is this? And the king asked him, all these intellectuals are here. None of them did what you did. Why did you do that? Your lord and your honor, forgive me. The diamond is priceless, but your hukum and your command, we can never put a price on that. Today the world is a diamond. Our energy, our focus, our mind is around that diamond. Servant of Allah, when is the time going to dawn upon this little heart of ours to realize the command of the diamond is above Rabbul Izzat's command is each and every day upon us? This is the amount of azmat and respect we have for our children. The hadith mentioned, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدٌ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يَهُوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصَّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجَّسَانِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. That every child born on the earth is born on the fitrat of Islam. What is this fitrat? It is the tendency, the softness, the inclination towards the acceptance of deen. The father, the mother has the ability, the strength, the capability to mold the mind of that little child. Either to make the child a Yahud, a Nasara, a Mushrik, a Fasik, a pious person. So respected elders and brothers, who created the monster? Not Rabbul Izzat. None other but myself and you as father and mother. Today we bow our heads down in shame, looking at our youth, looking at our children. We are not here to point fingers, but we are here solely to assist each other in solving that problem. And I always mention to people, we are an ummah, we are as a family. It is preferable that the father, the grandfather, the father, the brother or the sister speaks out. Instead of the enemies from outside telling us what is wrong and right. There are three things that I would like to focus on amongst the countless of things. These three items are more deadly than the poison of a snake. A snake will bite you, but to Allah, the poison of the snake is not more deadly than these three items. Number one, allowing our boys to mix with girls. Allowing our children to have friends. Number three, music. The poison is more deadly than that of a snake, and we'll discuss this as we go along. If you look at these three items, where are to be found? The most dangerous and the most harmful thing that myself and you could introduce into our homes is none other than the TV. The TV and its byproducts have produced these three items. All the enemy did to us is, they presented somebody on the screen. His shapes, his sizes, his looks was enough. Without a single word of tabligh, they presented a shape. That shape impacted on the heart of mother and father. That shape impacted on the heart of our children. What do we find amongst our youth, girls and boys? If you look down the Islamic corridor of history, you will never repeat such a thing. Today, they have presented a shape and a size. You look at our youth, bleach heads, ginger heads, earring in the ear, necklace around the neck, rings and bracelet. Ya Rab, what is this? As a parent, what do I say? You should allow the child freedom so that he can chalk his own path. He wants freedom. It suits me. It suits the mother. It suits the father. Does it suit Rabbul Izzat? Allah spells it out in clear terms. Inna deena inda Allahi Islam. That in the eyes of Allah, there is only one madhab. There is only one deen. There is only one methodology. There is only one tariqah. There is only one code of life in the eyes of Allah. And it is none other but the deen of Allah. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغَ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا فَلَيُقْبَلَ مِنْ Allah warns us, choose any other tariqah on the universe, choose any other madhab, choose any other nation as a guideline. وَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ In the law, it is rejected. And anything that is rejected in the eyes of Allah, that is mardood. وَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ You will find that impact on your heart, it will manifest in your life. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Not only on the dunya will you suffer, but you will suffer on the akhirah. Allah warns us, "Inna hadayna sabila imma shakiran wa imma kafura." You want freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of dress. You are most welcome to do it. But from time to time, Rabbul Izzat said that I will present haq in front of you. It is left upon you. You either accept that haq or you reject that haq. If you will reject that haq, then I warn you. You will suffer on this dunya in pain and agony. And when you reach the qabr, there is something else waiting for you. Today, respected elders and brothers, look at our youth, look at our children. Mothers and fathers have bowed their head in shame. It is never too late to change that condition, provided we want a change. Hazrat explains that our children are like monkeys. It will make us laugh, but wallahi al-azim, if you look at this example, exactly like monkeys. He gives an example which is applicable to India and also to us. Many of us had encounters with monkey. By nature, very troublesome. So in India, in a certain village, the monkeys was giving people a lot of taklif. Whenever the shopkeepers go for salah, then they would steal the scale. And they'll stand on the tree. So when the shopkeeper come back to open the shop, they are waiting to weigh the items. The monkey is on the tree. So the customers will stand up in a queue waiting. And no sooner did the shopkeeper try to chase the monkey away, he starts running away. Rabbul Izzat has bestowed upon insan aql. What is the inherent quality of aql? To be subservient unto Allah. When Allah Rabbul Izzat created aql, what did Allah say to the aql? Come forth. What did the aql do? It came forward. When Allah created jahal and ignorance, Allah instructed the jahal, go back, the jahal came forward. So the fitrat or the inherent quality of aql is to be subservient unto Rabbul Izzat. The inherent quality of jahl is to rebel against Rabbul Izzat. So bear in mind, Allah has granted insan aql. So one day, a person decided that I will put this monkey to test and trial and I'll fix him up once and for all. Came back from Salah, he prepared his things, he was a barber. So before he left, he took the mirror and he stood outside and he looked in the mirror and he turned the razor around and he started cutting. And he left the mirror down and he went for Salah. No sooner did he leave, the monkey came, collected the mirror and the razor. So he's standing and waiting now. The customers want to be shaved, they needed a trim. So he takes a stick, pretending he's chasing the monkey. The monkey goes to the top of the tree, not realizing that you must turn the razor around. So he used the sharp edge of the razor, and as he cuts, end of story. Today, respected elders and brothers, all they did is to play something on the TV. Our little children, what did we do? We are following them like monkeys. Today we have cut our heart. The iman has been destroyed in our heart. We are seeing the effect. We are witnessing the effect. The Quran said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. Don't forget, your wealth and your children is a fitna. What is it today? Nothing but a fitna, a curse, a bala, a difficulty on us. Comes in the hadith on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, man will be presented for his hisab kitab, people will look, he'll be completely naked, not naked in his clothes. He'll be stripped of all the amal. People will be amazed and they will ask, how come is this person naked? Somebody will reply that his offspring has eaten all his good deeds. Putting pressure on mother and father, they have compelled them to accept their ideas, their whims, their fancies. Therefore the awliya says, Al-iyalu susu ta'at, that your offspring are like termites. We look at the small insects, how they destroy the timber. That is how our children will destroy our iman. Hazrat Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, amongst the signs of the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will experience this, it will dawn upon the ummah, where you will find a husband will be put to shame. He will be embarrassed because of his wife and his children putting non-halal demands upon him. His earnings are small, but the pressure from wife and children is so severe that eventually he indulges in haram. When he indulges in non-halal things, the eating is halal. The blood that flows through the body is non-halal. The amal that flows through the body is non-halal. This is how severe is the effect of our children. As it says, take an example of a fish. The fish is born in salt water in the ocean. It lives in the ocean for months and months. When that fish is taken out of the water, you fry that fish, the fish is presented to you on the table. What do you do with the fish? You put salt on that fish. The entire life of the fish was in salt water. But wallah, that environment, the salt did not impact on the life of that fish. O mu'min, O believers, look at the iman in your heart. In the time of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, who was Imam Ghazali? He was amongst those people, لو أقسم على الله لأبره, that when they take a qasam on Allah's name, the heavens and the earth respond to the qasam. Sitting in his majlis, somebody asked him, Imam Saab, tell me something. What is a Muslim? And where do I find Muslims? Ya Rabb, look at the answer that you have given them. If you are looking for Musliman, go to the Qabristan and dig up the graves, Wallahi al-Azim, you will find Muslims in the Qabr. And if you want to know what is the definition of a mu'min, open the kutubs and you will see what are the definition. They are non-existent. Our responsibility, our duty, as long as we live on the earth, is to fulfill the stars. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Where do we start from, respected elders and brothers? How do we start? Hazrat gave example. If we feel we want freedom, let it be known to us. Freedom of your children is like leaving a ship at the high seas without an anchor. Not only will that ship cause damage to itself, but the possibility it will cause damage to people. What is that little boy and girl doing in the society? We have neglected our responsibility and our duty to feed that little child with the adab, with the etiquette, with the respect, with the manners that Allah and Allah's Rasul wanted from us. Not only does that child suffer the effect of that, but the community at large. When a child misbehaves, when a child does something in society, it harms the people, it affects the people. So where do we start from, respected elders and brothers? Now let me explain you. Many of us in our small little minds, what do we feel? Clothing is not important to the adab and the etiquette and manners of children. The speech of the child is not important. The size and the shape of the child is not important. The walk of the child is not important. The presentation of the child is not important. But let me tell you, we are deceiving ourselves. The shape, the size, the figure, the walking, the speech, the running, the presentation, everything is part and parcel in the deen, in the light of Islam. And we will prove this to you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدَهُ مِنْ نَحْلٍ أَفْضَلَهُ مِنْ أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. There is nothing better that a father and a mother could bestow upon his child in a form of a gift, a hadiya and a present, than giving his daughter and his children adabun hasan, that manners, that etiquette, that adab, that akhlaq, that Allah and Allah Rasul has termed as manners. Let me explain you. Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah explained, what is the definition of adab? Undoubtedly, this definition is too unique. I don't think there can be more a precise explanation to adab, manners and etiquette. What is the definition of adab and manners? Not an external display of manners. Come inside, much obliged, be seated, thank you. That is not adab. He defines adab. Adab is, in my appearance, in my approach, in my speech, to see that I must not only give comfort and peace to my fellow Muslim, but to my human beings, and not only to my human beings, even to the animals. In my speech, in my approach, in my dressing, in my appearance, I must not give taklif and grief to anybody. That is the definition of adab. That is the definition of etiquette. That is the definition of manners. So where do we start from? There can be nothing better that a father can bestow upon his child, upon his daughter, than to give them adab, that we refer to as hasan. That type of adab that we find in the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now respected elders and brothers, we are not here to entertain you. We are not here to invent things. But we are here solely and only for one aim and one object. Maqsidun wahid is to please Rabbul Izzat. Let us look at our lifestyle as a father and a mother. Many of us, we take great pride in handing over a BMW with the keys to my son. He completed his matric. We have presented them with a cell phone. Allahumma fadda, Allahumma fadda. Bear in mind, if that child, if that girl cannot fulfill that amanat and that trust, and that child, that girl abuses that amanat and the trust, who is responsible on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah for that amanat and the trust? None other but myself and you as a father. We will be questioned on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Don't think that you're doing the child a favor. Don't think that you're doing your daughter a favor by giving them a cellular phone and giving them a car. You want the freedom, Allah warned you, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَا سَبِيلًا إِمَّا شَاكِرًا. You can make shukr for the hidayah that Allah give you. And you can make nashukr. But Allah warn you, if you turn your back on my nasihat, I will take you to task with dunya wal akhirah. It is entirely left upon the individual. Today what we have witnessed, the destruction of our children through that cellular phone. What do they do with the cellular phone? The link up to girls and boys. What did the hadith mention? An-nadhru sahmun min siyabi iblis, that one gaze of that girl upon the boy, or the boy upon the girl, is like the arrow of iblis. And when iblis fire the arrow, when that arrow leaves the bow, there's no way it's going to turn back. It will find the target. What is the target? It's the heart of the girl and that boy. And the end result of that is what? That boy and that girl lose their senses. The akal goes from them. So therefore, don't deceive yourself by thinking. Concentrate, create the fikr and the worry. This is what Allah and Allah's Rasul wants from me. What should I give them? That adab, that etiquette. Now where do we start from? There are three important points that we will focus upon. One is the adab and the etiquette of the manners of Tawheed. The second is the adab and the manners of friendship. And the third is the etiquette and the adab, slipped my mind, of haya and shame. These are the three points. Tawheed, haya, and friendship. Now where do we get this from? Nabi Karim Salam mentioned, iftahu bi awwali kalimatin bila ilaha illallah. The very first talim that we inculcate to mother and father and to my child is the tawheed of Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur. So the moment our little children begins to speak, we give them the talim of the tawheed. The first talim Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. This is where we start off. This dynamic, this mubarak talim is so unique. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam called his little son and he said, Ya bunayya, intaku mithqala habbatin min khardalin, fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ard, ya'ti biha Allah, inna Allah latifun khabir. Look how mubarak, how blessed, how unique is this talim. One talim he gave, and this talim is sufficient. What did he say to his son? My son, my loving son, my beloved son, bear in mind that Allah Rabbul Izzat is so unique. If Allah placed an atom in the middle of the mountain, he split the rock, and he placed that atom in the rock. If he takes that atom and lay the atom beneath the ocean, if he takes an atom and place the atom in the middle of the forest, and Allah instructs that atom, kun fayakun, the atom will stand up. The knowledge of Allah is unique. Therefore, never deceive yourself. 24 hours out of 24 hours, Rabbul Izzat is looking at the heart. He is looking at the mind. So whatever you do, my little boy, in the darkest corner, in the middle of the night, your Rabb is looking at you. What does this mean? You can never deceive Allah. Wherever you are, Allah is watching you. What does this mean? The Tawheed and the Risalat of Rabbul Izzat. That wherever I am throughout my life, from a little boy to an old age, my mind is always on Rabbul Izzat. Ruju ilallah, nisbat ilallah, ta'alluk ilallah. Allah, I cannot deceive you. What is this? I want to steal? Allah, you are looking at me. I want to commit zina with the eyes? Allah, you are looking at me. This is the reminder of the Tawheed. Number two, we look at friendship. This friendship, it is poison. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa said, Al-maru ala dini khalilihi, falyanzur ahadukum may yukhalil. A human being's iman, your deen, is judged according to the friends that you keep. Therefore, be very careful, be very particular in whom you will choose as a friend. Before you befriend a friend, before you take a person as a friend, there are three qualities in a human being. Now this is important to mother. This is important to father. The type of friends that I will keep, that is the type of friends my children will keep. Number one, when he speaks, the ilm of deen increases. That is my friend. When you look at his a'mal, he reminds you of the akhirat. When you sit in his company, your love for Rabbul Izzat increases. Look at your friends, respected elders and brothers. Scrutinize your friends. Take every one of them. Look at them. When they speak, what flows from their tongue? When they do any a'mal, do that a'mal remind you of the akhirat? When you sit in their company, do they take you closer to Rabbul Izzat? If not, then I refuse to accept you as a friend. Now don't forget, it is in our hands to change the condition of our children. It is our responsibility. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah gives an example. He says, Wallah, I take a qasam in Allah's name. If you take a person and you befriend a harif, a person who is greedy for the dunya, or you spend some time from him, Wallah, you will find that few days that you spend with him, greed will, it will set in your heart. But take a person to a zahid, a person that abstains from dunya, and let him befriend that person for a few days. Wallah, you will find the quality of zuhud will set in the heart of that mu'min. Our Hazrat Mawlana Masih Rahmatullahi, Thumma Rahmatullahi, mentions, company is so dangerous, it is so severe. If you take a person to a blacksmith, he does absolutely nothing. He will just stand for a few moments. That sparks will make holes in his kurta. The black soot that comes out of the fire will tarnish his garments. When he leaves there, at least the smell and the smoke will be on him. And take him to an attar shop where they sell attar. He does nothing there. All he does is just to inhale, breathe in and out. The beautiful smell of attar penetrates his body. He feels fresh. This is talim. Now many of us, we have a habit, as old as we are, as it mentions, there's only two friends that you have. If you're speaking of male friends, there is only one male friend on the dunya. That is your sheikh, your murshid, your ustaz. And if you want a female friend, wallah, there is nothing better than your wife. But both these friends, respected elders and brothers, what are we doing? We are shying away from them. No sooner did we perform our salah, where do you find we spend our hours? Do not forget, we are responsible for those hours. We will be questioned on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah for that hours. But if those hours are spent in the company of your murshid, in the company of your sheikh, in the company of your ustaz, wallahi al-azim, every second in the law it is reward and thawab. If that company is spent in the company of your wife and your children, every moment in the law is reward and thawab. Making jokes with your wife is dhikr and thawab. Teasing her and she is teasing you. In the eyes of Allah, it's like making tilawat of the Quran. But the iman is so far away from deen. We have not realized. Rabbul Izzat's mercy is so great. He has provided a simple formula for us. When are we going to choose that formula? When are we going to indulge in that formula? Let me give you a story of friendship. Do not forget, the grief of mother and father is the grief of Rabbul Izzat. There are many children. Hazrat Al-Qamah radiallahu ta'ala was a sahaba, very high ranking sahaba. This sahaba was noted for his fasting, Salatul Layl. At the time of Sakarat, they were making talqeen to him. What is Sakarat? When you're about to leave the dunya, you're on your dying bed. The sunnah tariqah of the Sakarat is that you sit alongside the person who is about to pass away. Never ever instruct him to say anything. But what do you do? At regular intervals, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul. No sooner did he move his lips than you remain silent. But never tell a person who is about to die, instruct him or tell him to do something. There is nothing more severe, nothing more difficult. No pain and agony can ever be equal to Sakarat. So by telling a person at times, he can say things that are disrespectful. They were making the Sakarat of the Sahaba. He refused to accept the Sakarat. He refused to recite the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul. His wife became concerned. She sent a message to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, is Hazrat Al-Qamah radiallahu ta'ala's mother alive? They said yes, but she's of age. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to go and visit the mother of Hazrat Al-Qamah radiallahu ta'ala. The lady was very old and he said, O lady, tell me something. Can you give me some information about your son? She said, O Prophet of Allah, Most of his time he would fast. There's not a single day in his life that he's not performed the Salatul Layl. This was the rank and the status of Hazrat Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu. But there was one thing in his life. What was that? He listened to his wife and he disobeyed me. He caused a great amount of grief and pain. Nabi Kareem Salam said, please forgive him. O Prophet of Allah, the heart is torn asunder. I will never forgive him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, go and collect firewood. The mother of Hazrat Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, what are you going to do with the firewood? I'm going to prepare a fire. And do what? I'm going to put your son into that fire. O Prophet of Allah, are you going to burn my son alive? Yes, indeed, I'm going to burn him. For undoubtedly, the fire of Jahannam is a million and one times than the fire of the dunya. I will make him suffer on the dunya, but in the akhirah, he will be free of sins. Prophet of Allah, I forgive him. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent somebody to find out, how is Hazrat Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu faring? Prophet of Allah, he recited the kalima and he left the dunya. After the burial of Hazrat Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the ashab. And he said, wallah, I take a qasam on Allah's name, let it be known to you. A person who caused grief and pain to mother and father, may the curse and the lanat of Rabbul Izzat be upon that person. A person who caused grief and pain to mother and father, may the lanat and the curse of the entire humanity be upon that person. A person who caused grief and pain to mother and father, may the curse and the lanat of the entire malaika be upon that person. And let it be known to that person that his nawafil, his faraid, will not be accepted in the Allah hatta yatub, until he make tawbah. What is this? Adab, etiquette, manners. One day, a father to teach his son a lesson, every day his son will go out and come back at the early part of the morning. Don't forget, today the parents, they are overtaken with pain and agony because of the doings of children. But yet you find that father, that mother will continue with that compassion, with that love, with that feeling towards their children. So one day the father said to the little boy, please my son, you are growing up. I am gone grey. There are no friends today on the dunya. And he insisted, father, this particular friend is prepared to give his jaan and his life. So one day his father waited and took the little boy by his hand and said, come my son, let us see what life, what money, what sacrifices will your friend do. And he took the boy by his hand and they pitched up at the night about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And he shouted and he knocked on the gate of his friend. And he opened the little window and he looked and he see his friend. He said, oh my friend, please, I need some assistance. I would like to speak to you. He said, brother, can't we leave it for the morning? We'll sort it out. And he closed the window. The father said, son, don't worry. Come, let me show you what a friend is. And he took the little boy along. And he went to his house, to one of his friend's house, and he knocked on the door. And the old man peeped. And for a little while, he closed the curtain. And there was a delay and silence. And this old man came out, wobbling, with a lathi in his hand, with a tray on his head, and some food in his hand. He said, oh, are you dost? After so long you have come. I know this part of the night there must be something wrong. It's either somebody's interfering with you. I can't walk, I'm wobbling, but at least with this lathi, at least for my friend, I can manage to give one blow. Even if I die, I'm prepared to die. If you need money, this is all that I got. Take this bag of money. And if you're running short of food, my friend, here's the food. Ya Rab. This is what we call friendship. Show me one friend today, respected elders and brothers. Fakir. Great fikr and worry. Look at your friends. Firstly, as a father, as a mother, who do I bring in my house? Don't forget, whoever I bring in my house, I am responsible for the effect of that company upon my wife and my children. This is what you call friendship. After 20 years of meeting, he was so overwhelmed. This is all that I have. Take my entire wealth if you need it. You need the danda, I'm prepared. I can't do anything at least. I'll just collapse on your friend. Ya Allah. What is this? And whatever food you are, have this food. He said, no. With Allah's fadl, I don't need anything. I want to teach my little son a lesson so that he can take ibrat. Therefore, friends are poison. Now we come to item number 3. Inna likulli deenin khuluqan wa khuluqul Islam al-haya. For every deen, for every madhab, for every nation, Rabbul Izzat has kept something that is distinctive. The most outstanding feature of Islam is the khuluq of Islam. What is the khuluq? The characteristic, it is haya and shame. Modesty. Al-haya min al-iman, al-imanu fil jannah. Al-badha'u min al-jafa, al-jafa'u fil nar. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Haya, modesty, shame is part and parcel of iman. Iman leads a person to jannah. The opposite of shame is bada. What is bada? Unshamefulness. Unshamefulness is an act of evil and sin. Evil and sin lead a person to jahannam. Now what is modesty? What is shame? What is shyness? Not the interpretation that myself and you have. When we in non-Muslim environment, that we feel shy to pick up our hands and make ibadah because I feel shy. I feel shy to put on my topi because all my friends got no topis. I feel shy to keep a beard. No, that is not shyness. Let us ask the awliya to give us a definition of shyness. So precise, so accurate, so unique is the translation of haya. One wali of Allah said, what is the definition of haya? Mawlaka la yaraka min haythu nahaka. Mawlaka la yaraku min haythu nahaka. What is this? The definition of shyness, the definition of shame is what? That your Lord, your Rabb, your Creator will never ever find you at any place that your Lord and your Creator has prohibited you to be from. My iman does not allow me to do things that Allah does not want me to do. I feel too embarrassed and too shy. Which means, wherever I am, I must do the things that Allah wants me to do. Because Allah is looking into my heart. Allah does not want me to look at wrong things. So I will bow my head down. Allah does not want me to look at wrong, to listen to evil things. I shut my ears. Because this is the definition of shyness. Therefore, it is imperative upon mother and father to preserve that haya in my dressing, in my speech, in my appearance, in my looks. Why? If I am not particular with the haya, how do I expect my children to have haya? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this haya is very important. And as I mentioned to you, there is nothing more detrimental to dismantle the haya in our homes than the TV and its byproducts. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, is entirely upon you. Inna hadainahu sabila imma shakira wa imma kafura. You can make shukr to Allah that Allah has given you hidayat, accept the hidayat. You can turn your back in the hidayat. Wallahi al-azim, none other but myself and you will bear the consequences of it. Respected elders and brothers, when is the time going to dawn upon this heart? Look at the items that appear there. Look at the figures that appear there. That is an instrument towards zina. That is the stepping stone to cause motivation in our heart. And it did not only end there, it went a step further. Today look at the videos and its byproducts. Look at the literature and the items that we bring home. Allahumma fadna, Allahumma fadna. What are we doing to our iman? We are destroying that iman. Bear in mind, the mother and father has the ability either to make the child naik sali, either to make the child a fasil. Item number 3. Al-ghina yumbitul nifaq. Music sows the seed of nifaq. What is nifaq? It is the opposite of ikhlas. Any amal, any concept, any appearance, any shape, any size, is if it is in conformity with ikhlas, it is maqbool indallah. An item that is maqbool indallah, wallahi al-azim, it will manifest in the life of the mu'min. Through his eyes, through his ears, through his nose, through his tongue, through his limbs. And any a'mal that is the opposite of ikhlas, which has nifaq, will have a reverse effect on that human being. Through the eyes, through the ears, through the lungs. Now let me show you. Today you find our houses throb with the sound of music. You look at the vehicles as they zoom past you, it throb with the sound of music. Is that correct? That is nifaq. What does nifaq do? It takes out the ikhlas from your heart. O mu'min, O believers, when is the time going to dawn upon us? The hadith mentioned in the darkest of night, in the darkest corner of your room. A mu'min that takes Allah's name, Allah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Those words impact upon the heavens like a radiant star. The malaika that flies above the heavens intercept the radiance and the glow of that dhikr of yours in the darkness of the night, and they come to your home and they settle down in your home. What are they bringing to your home? Rahmat and mercy and nur to your house. When is the time going to dawn upon us that we transform the throbbing with the throbbing of Rabbul Izzat? Now let me show you, respected elders and brothers, what does that nifaq do to us? Kilometers away, you have put on the music and you enter the house of Rabbul Izzat. Let us look how do that music manifest in that life of the mu'min. Al-mu'minu fil masjid kasamak fil ma'ah. The hadith mentioned that a mu'min in the house of Allah is like a fish in the water, itminan and content. He is at peace. A munafiq, when he enters the house of Allah, is like a bird in a cage. He is restless. He is uneasy. He wants to fly out by the nearest window. O believers, O mu'min, scrutinize your life and see. When you come to the house of Allah, when you say Allahu Akbar, is there itminah? Is there comfort? Is there peace in the heart? Or is there uneasiness? Now that music will manifest in that life. No sooner did we feel uncomfortable, we want to run out. Bear in mind, respected elders and brothers, that is the impact and the effect of that nifaq flowing to the brow of that mu'min. What is preventing myself and you from transforming that nifaq into ikhlas? It lies in my hands. I mentioned in Pietermaritzburg, today we have not tasted the fruit of ita'at. We have not tasted the lazzat and the taste of ita'at of Rabbul Izz. Our nafs has been overpowered. We feel that we get enjoyment in ma'asiyat. It is never possible that a person can ever enjoy ma'asiyat. It is impossible. A mu'min can never ever enjoy ma'asiyat. The example the Shaykh gives is like when a snake bites you. The effect of the poison is you can eat anything that is bitter. Aloe, lemon, bitter herbs, everything will be sweet. Now are you going to say the aloe is sweet, the lemon is sweet? What are you going to say? That there is something wrong with the system of that mu'min. In like manner, when you commit ma'asiyat and you seem as if you are enjoying something, there is something wrong with the spiritual side. I'll give you a story, respected elders and brothers. I diverted a little bit. It is a bit late, but the other aspect of it, inshallah, if Allah let us meet one day, we will discuss it. Let me give you a story of one sahaba to show you that they have realized the lizzat and the ita'at of Rabbul Izzat. Don't forget, it is very important in our lives that we always speak of jihad and the life of the sahabas to motivate and cause the blood to flow, so that the ruhani side can become stronger. Hazrat Jalabib radiallahu ta'ala was a sahaba, a little boy like many of us. We look at our children, the aspirations, the ideals, the ego, the desire is very, very high. This little boy was also a boy like us, also had many aspirations and desires in life. But he was extremely poor, he had no mother and father. He did not even have a shelter above his head, not even the bare necessities of life. He would spend his time in the company of Nabi Karim Sallam and sleep at the Mubarak feet of Rasulullah. He would fast most of the time, whatever food there was, he would eat that food. One day was in the company of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallam asked this little boy, Jalabib, tell me something. Are you married? O Prophet of Allah, is there anyone that will accept me in marriage? I've got no father, I've got no mother. Nabi Karim Sallam looked at this boy and said, a person who's got no mother and father, I am his mother and father. He said, O Prophet of Allah, look at my face, look at my appearance. Hazrat Jalabib was ugly. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, looking at me, would anybody accept my hand in marriage? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a little note to a Sahaba and he sent this note. When the Sahaba received this note, it was Eid for him. He took the note to his daughter and said, there's a proposal. Immediately, his daughter accepted the proposal. Came back to the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, the proposal has been accepted. But what is the worrying factor? I scarcely got a cloth around. How am I going to look after a wife? He wrote a little note and sent it to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, who was the multimillionaire of this ummah. When he received the note, it was jannat for him. The note read, I need 3 dirhams and I will pay it back to you at a later stage. Immediately he presented the 3 dirhams. This little boy, it was the turning point in his life. We can imagine what went through the mind of this little boy. Today I'm going to bring a wife into the home. I will share my feelings. I will give my love. She will give my love. There is somebody that I can share my thoughts with. The pain and the suffering I can share with somebody. And he proceeded to the bazaar place. Bought a little garment for his wife. Bought a little garment for himself. Kept a little bit of the money to rent a shelter. And as he was returning from the shop, the entire streets of Medina, every particle of dust, every stone, every avenue of Medina echoed with these Mubarak words, Hayya ala al-jihad, Hayya ala hifadati Rasulullah. Come forth for the jihad of Rasulullah. Come forth for the defense of Allah and Allah's Rasul. Those words impacted upon the heart of this little boy. Youth, children, take advice. He turned around without going back to the Mubarak city of Medina to make mashura. He went back to the shopkeepers in tears. Accept these items. Return these items. All I need is a shield in the one hand and the sword in the other hand. They ceded to his request. They present him the shield and the sword. And this young lad went into the front line of the battlefield. When the battle reached its climax, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized, my beloved, where is Hazrat Jalabib? He sent a group of Sahabas back to Medina to go and inquire what happened to my beloved. And if he's married, give him my blessings and my glad tidings. One Sahaba stood up and said, O Prophet of Allah, what are you saying? The little lad is in the front line, he's been martyred. فَقَدَ جُرِحَ جَرْحًا شَدِيدًا. Over 80 wounds has been pierced in his body. He is lying in the battlefield. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stepped forward. He picked up the Mubarak head of Hazrat Jalabib and placed the head on his Mubarak lap. The Sahaba opened up his eyes and he started smiling. This amazed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Jalabib, why do you smile? O Prophet of Allah, there was only one desire in my life. Throughout my life I made dua to Rabbul Izzat. Allah, let me die on the Mubarak lap of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This brought tears to the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In tears, he bowed forward and he kissed the Mubarak forehead of Hazrat Jalabib radiallahu ta'ala. He instructed the Sahabas, take the body back to the holy city of Medina. None other shall bury this body, but he will be buried on my Mubarak hands. As they were returning to the streets of Medina, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going back. Sahabas observed that his behavior was abnormal. O Prophet of Allah, the streets of Medina are clear, but why do you walk as if there is mud on the road, as if there are items that can harm you? Nabi Kareem Sallam looked at his Sahaba in tears and he cried and he said, Wallah, I take a qasam on Allah's name. What I see, you will never see. Allah Rabbul Izzat sent that amount of multitude of malaika to the universe in honor of the dignity of Hazrat Jalabib, that the entire streets of Medina are filled with the wings of the Malaika. I feel ashamed. I feel disrespectful to walk on the wings of the Malaika. Therefore, I am tiptoeing. Bear in mind, respected elders and brothers, one of the nasihat I always give our people. When the eyes dry up, you cannot cry no longer. That is a shahadat and the evidence of the hardness of the heart. What causes the heart to be hard? Min kafrat al-dhunub. It is the excess of sin that we indulge in that dry the tears up of the eyes. When a mu'min cries, bear in mind it is the tarahum and the rahm of Allah, which Allah inflicts upon that heart of the mu'min, that causes the heart to vibrate with the love of Rabbul Izzat, that causes the tears to flow. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala once visited Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, a walking jannati on the earth. He was at the time of Sakarat. Hazrat Uthman said to him, Yabna Mas'ud, Ibn Mas'ud, Ayyu Shayin Tashku. Is there anything that you want to complain about? You at the time of Sakarat, I am here alongside you. He was a walking jannati on the earth. What did he say? Wallahi al-Azim, there is nothing that I complain about. With the exception of one thing. Ana ashku kathrat al-dhunubi. I complain of the excess and the indulgence in sin. Who is this? A walking jannati on the earth. What does he say? I complain of the excess of sin that I commit. Thereupon he asked him, Ayyushayin takhafu? Is there anything that you fear? He said, Wallahi al-Azim, I fear absolutely nothing, not even Malik al-Maut. Only one thing I fear. Ana akhafu azaba Rabbi. I fear the azab and the punishment of Rabbul Izzat. So nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down in the Qabr Mubarak and laid the body of Hazrat Jalabi. When he got out of the Qabr, what did he witness and experience? Sahaba saw that he was smiling. O Prophet of Allah, the Qabr is a place of awe, of fear. Why do you smile? Say, I've got no option, no alternative. As I turned the Mubarak face of Hazrat Jalabib towards the Holy Kaaba, he started laughing. And I said, why do you laugh? He said, O Prophet of Allah, the contingent of the Hurayin is lining up and they're calling. They tasted the lizzat, the taste, the sweetness of the itaat of Rabbul Izzah. In contrast to that, respected elders and brothers, we have indulged in sin. I'll give you a story and inshallah we'll conclude. Hazrat gave a very, very good story to show you by fitrat, by nature, the akal of a mu'min is stable. The akal that Allah has bestowed upon us, it's very, very strong. It will always assist you. Therefore you find the ruh is the king of all good. Who is the wazir of the ruh, the counselor? The akal. But when one commit excessive sin, then you lose the inherent quality of that akal. The fitrat, the quality to direct a person is lost. How is it lost? A person from the Sarad area, the Qabail area, that area bordering Pakistan and Afghanistan. Those people are massive, they are very, very strong. They live only for one thing, is to die. In the time of Sir Winston Churchill, he wrote to the British government that we cannot fight a war against these people, let us withdraw the troops. So the British government know why. So he said, how can you fight a nation who looks in the barrel of the gun and the cannon and they said, Wallah, we find Jannah there, and they jump into the barrel. You can't win a war as such. Now these Qabail people, they were people as such. So one day a youngster decided, let me go and visit the city. I haven't seen a city. So they took him to New Delhi and he arrived in New Delhi. Now many of you have been to New Delhi. Along the streets you find lovely hot halwa, kebabs, bhajiyas, jalebi, etc. So when he saw this, he did not see this in the Qabail area. And he was very hungry and they eat a lot, so he started eating. The shopkeeper was small in size because they are massive, and he looked at this person and he said, well, this gentleman, I can't handle him. He is a bit too big for me. He contacted the police, and in the former times the police will not arrest people. So the police came and asked him for his papers and spoke to him, and he realized, no, this person is from the Qabail. So they punished him now. They put him on a donkey. And they called the little children with the tablas, and they took him through the streets of New Delhi, and they led him out, and they were banging this tabla. And the entire people in the village and the town looked at this person, and he went through. And when he got to the border, they sent him away. He reached his hometown, and they asked him, how is India? He said, Bahut khoob mulk hai. It's a wonderful place, he said. I haven't seen a place like that. You eat free. They provide a transport for you. They welcome you. They entertain you. They take you to the border and they send you home. Allahumma fadla, Allahumma fadla. When the akal leaves us, that is in reality a punishment. You put to shame. But when the akal leaves you, what do you say? May Allah forbid and may Allah protect us. In short, respected elders and brothers, in conclusion, what do I always say to our people? I'm a traveler, I'm a wayfarer. I come here for a little bayan and I go. What is important to us, the finer points, the other aspect that we have neglected and left out because of time, your local ulama are here, your mashaykh is here, Hazrat Maulana, Yunus Patel Sahib is here, these people spend company in the mashaykh. It is our duty As we said, friendship is important. Kunu ma asadiqin. Choose the company of the pious, the company of the ulama. It is our duty that we go to these people. We spend some time in their khidmat. Inshallah, it won't be long that we will find the other aspect of deen. And inshallah, through their barakat, through their talim, through their tarbat, inshallah, there'll be a change. In short and conclusion, respected elders and brothers, one of the responsibility and duties that we have as Muslims. This is also part of my message that I give off. 150,000 Russian troops surrounded 20,000 Mujahideen in Chechnya. They said it is 3 days that we will walk over them. كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Many armies, they are small and minor. But in the eyes of Allah, they are big and they are powerful. Allah's nusrat and Allah's assistance are always with the ummah. 11 months have passed over these people. The most sophisticated, the most powerful army on the surface of the earth are the Russians. 11 months with 150,000 troops, they cannot destroy 20,000 mujahideen. These mujahideen go to war with one limb, with one eye out, with crutches, struggling along, with little armor, with little weapons. What do they say? From the front line it emerged. They say in the darkness of the night, when we penetrate the force of the Russians, they're like mountains in front of us. We are small groups and small pockets. That is how we fight a war. 5-5, 10-10. But as we proceed, in the middle of the night, we are also human beings. We are overtaken with fear. But wallah, when we face the enemies, we know that the entire ummah's dua is behind our back. With the spirit, with our Muslim brothers and sisters alongside us, we take Rabbul Izzat's name and we proceed. Wallah, we have seen the result and the fruit of your people's dua. We call upon you people to continue to make dua. We have seen the fruits of your dua that Allah have thus united them. Allah has caused their armor, their strategy to fail. Many a times you find Allah have made means that they fight amongst themselves, not realizing that they are friends, killing each other. Wallah, we take an oath in Allah's name. It is nothing but the dua of the ummah. Ad-dua silahul mu'min. The dua is a weapon of the mu'min. Their pain, their suffering is our pain. Our mothers, our sisters who lay down their lives for the sake of deen, their pain, their blood, their agony is our blood. We are thousands of miles away, not forgetting one single mu'min in Durban can shed a tear and Allah will transform the tear. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ into an army. Allah controls the entire universe army. أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. If there's power, if there's might, if there's strength, only in the qudrat and the hands of Rabbul Izzat is the power and strength. The ants are the army of Allah. The birds are the army of Allah. The clouds are the army of Allah. The animals are the army of our. The sun and the moon are the army of Allah. The malaika are the army of Allah. This is how mighty and powerful are the qudrat of Allah. So therefore, let us continue to make dua. Allahumma ansur al-mujahideena fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansur al-mujahideena fi Chechnya, fi Bosnia, fi Afghanistan. May Allah accept our sitting here. May Allah grant us tawfiq and guidance to make amal. May Allah grant us His love. May Allah protect us from the various forms of fitna. May Allah create that nisbat towards Allah. May Allah give us the tawfiq and guidance to guide the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the heart in His obedience. Wa akhri da'a.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أغسى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك وأسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك وارزقنا طاعتك وطاعة رسولك وعملا بكتابك. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت وقنا شر ما قضيت. نستغفرك اللهم ربنا ونتوب إليك. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم قاتل الكفرة الذين يجحدون آياتك ويكذبون رسلك ويصدون عن سبيلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل أعداءهم اليهود والنصارى والمشركين. اللهم شتت شملهم. اللهم مزق جمعهم. اللهم دمر ديارهم. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وامحو آثارهم واقطع دابرهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم أهلكهم كما أهلكت عاد وثمود. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مسافرا إلا رددته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا ولدا إلا أصلحته ولا جاهلا إلا علمته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا دعاء إلا استجبته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وبدنا صابرا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا وتوبة نصوحا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارزقنا طاعتك وطاعة رسولك وعملا بكتابك. اللهم أنت الحنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا صريخ المستصرخين ومنتهى العائدين والمفرج عن المكروبين والمروح عن المغمومين ومجيب أدعاء المضطرين يا كاشف المكروب ويا إله العالمين ويا أرحم الراحمين. منزول بك كل حاجة يا أرحم الراحمين. منزول بك كل حاجة يا أرحم الراحمين. منزول بك كل حاجة. ربنا اغفر لنا وارحمنا واهدنا وعافنا وارزقنا واشفنا واجبرنا واسترنا وارفعنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى وسلم على النبي الكريم. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.